Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
In the air to center. Ortega over. Now back. He makes the catch. And the Cubs tie a season high with a four-game win streak in one of the best pitching performances by their staff this year.
2-0 pitch. Suzuki gets a hold of one. Back that goes. Off the wall and left center. And a good ricochet for Seiya. Heading for third. They're going to wave him in. Suzuki heads for home. The throw to the plate. Not in time. Seiya Suzuki touches them all. And the Cubs grab a 2-1 lead off of Josh Hader.
Joey Chestnut unofficially. 63 hot dogs and bun. A winner by 20, title number 15 for the greatest eater of all time.
And the 0-2, and a deep drive out in the right center. That ball back there, and it's caught by Buxton. And what do we have here? We might have a triple play. Tag applied, step on second, double play. Engel took off, Moncada took off. That is a triple play.
Well, the ball's caught, right? So you got to go back and tag up.
So we had history yesterday on both sides of town in baseball. Seiya Suzuki's inside the park home run yesterday. You heard Beth Mowins on the call on Marquee. Good call. That was just the 13th go-ahead inside the park home run in the ninth inning by an away batter since 1901. Since 1901, there have also been six walk-off inside the park home runs, but the Cubs were on the road, so it couldn't be a walk-off. And then for the White Sox, that is the first time in the history of the sport. Baseball has been around, what, 140 years? 150? First time there's ever been an 8-5 triple play. It's never happened. Adam Engel came out after the game, said, "It's all on me. Yoan just saw me take off." He said, "I saw Buxton turn his back, assumed he was going to play the ball off the wall, and so I took off." Yeah, not so much. He's a gold glove outfielder for a reason. Buxton's a stud. And White Sox lose. Joe Kelly, another lousy performance as the reliever. Gave up four runs in the 10th. Sox get one back. And then Tim Anderson strikes out to end the game as the tying run. Ball in the dirt, kicks away. He walks back to the dugout. Can't happen. Cannot happen. Hannes in Joliet. What's up, Hannes Wagner?
Hi, guys. How you all doing? I appreciate your show very much.
Appreciate you.
I've been watching the White Sox for 70-some years, so I'm as disgusted as I could possibly be after watching last night's game. I thought they had turned a corner when they got out to San Francisco and played three really fine games. They get home, and some of my complaints are, I initially thought that Robert was the equivalent of Willie Mays in center field.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've let him down somewhat, or he's let the team down, because, yes, he glides to these balls. He looks marvelous doing it, but he doesn't then throw to the right base as quick as he can. His fundamentals aren't sound. I would wish that he would watch a Ken Burns baseball series to see how Willie Mays played that position, because he has that talent, I believe, but he doesn't do it. I don't know where his power's gone. He's an incredibly strong man. His speed is legendary. He has all the tools, but somebody's got to get to him. The other thing I really find fault with is our wonderful pitchers, Cease and Kopech. They have wonderful arms, but when they're throwing the ball to the plate, they're not in any position to field a ball right back at them. They need to watch Greg Maddux or Burley, who could do that, because they're going to get hurt, frankly. I think of Herb Score getting hit in the eye, and I could see that happening to Cease, because he's dancing all the time from balls hit back to him. And Kopech doesn't get off the mound quick enough when he, you know, it's rare that they have that, you know, 3-6-1 double play, but yeah, he's never in position for it.
Yeah, it's tough when guys are, you know, used to, and appreciate your call, Hannes. Have a great day, man. We appreciate you. It's tough when guys get locked in. Their most pressing concern on their mind is finding the strike zone, getting people out. And that this is how they've played. Both guys have elite stuff. You don't like the way they come off the mound of field, they'll tell you I'm more worried about how I'm throwing. So it's disappointing to see a team with the amount of pure talent on it be as dumb a baseball team as I've watched in a long time. Dumb. Ball kicks away, you don't run to first, the end of the game. Ball is hit to a Gold Glove center fielder who, if it stays in the park, pretty good chance he is going to catch it. And you just take off. Triple play. Inning over. There's talent there. I know some people are like, I don't know if they play hard enough. When you don't hit, you look flat. I think they play hard. I do. I saw guys running hard last night on the triple play. Those guys were running hard. It wasn't like they weren't trying. It's just wildly disappointing. I see the Cubs. The Cubs play hard, man. Give them credit. They grind every single day. They just don't have much in the way of talent to trade. And the players they do have that they're going to trade should be guys they'd want to keep. Let's go to the phones. They're hopping. Paul in Orland Park. Hey, Paul.
Hey, man, you know what? There's one thing to speak about Renteria. Those guys didn't quit when they played for him. And if Tim Anderson yesterday didn't run out that third base, he'd be sitting today.
Yeah, I don't know if that's accurate. I think guys...
Oh, come on.
I can't tell you he would have sat Tim Anderson. Absolutely not.
Yeah, he would.
He did it
during games. During the middle of the game, he did it. When somebody didn't run out of base, hit the first base. He's had a guy.
I would bet you that if that situation happened, and appreciate your call, Paul, if that ball kicked away to end the game, he would be in the lineup today. He would. It's professional sports. They're still going to put the best team on the field. Did Tony have a discussion with him after the game? I would think. Either he did or a team leader did or a coach. I would think. I would hope. And that's how Rick Renteria would have probably handled it the same way.
Cap, I will say I'm on the other side of this than you. I know you've put all, you say the blame's fully with the players. You've spoken to people who will just tell you we have a very dumb team. The front office kind of assembled a team that isn't great defensively, not the highest baseball IQ. I get that. I do think when you watch the team, though, and you see the errors that are happening and that they continue to happen, I have to put a little bit on the coaching staff.
I can't disagree with that.
The blame is to be spread around. But I do think, like, yes, you have a team that might not be the smartest baseball team ever assembled. But when I consistently see the same mistakes on the base paths, whether it's Tim getting picked off at first multiple times, or if it's guys taking off, not tagging up on a fly ball out, or not looking at Super Joe at third base and getting the sign, whatever it is, I do have to start to wonder, couldn't the coaching staff do something about that?
Well, they could do what the guy just, was it Paul? Was that his name?
Yeah.
Just
bench him?
You could bench Tim Anderson tonight. I don't know who your shortstop is then. Danny Mendick's done for the year.
Tony has been on it. I mean, we know that the roster construction, as far as depth goes, there's nothing behind these guys that's reserved in the dugout that's going to be able to come out. Like, you can't bench Tim Anderson because you don't have a suitable replacement. And then I think when you look at the...
Well, how do you fix it then?
That's the issue. That's where I start wondering, because you keep being hell-bent on this team's just going to win the division. They're just going to get better.
I don't think I'm hell-bent.
I think they'll win the division.
I think that they're more talented.
I kind of wonder if this is just your team. They're just not that good. And you don't have a coaching staff in place that can fix these things. I think the question then becomes, if the blame is really on the players, are you saying that they're not coachable?
Yeah, I look, this team went to the playoffs the last 2 years. They've got starting pitching. I think they need another bullpen arm. They got to get Eloy Jimenez back. But at some point, as Paul just said, do you have the stones to bench Tim Anderson today? And go, dude, I watched you get picked off twice in the last week. Well, I was home with COVID. He got picked off twice. Now I watch you stand at home plate and trudge back to the dugout when the ball kicked away. I'm not seeing a sense of urgency. You're not playing tonight. But if you're going to do that, you got to say that publicly. You've got to shame him. Guess what?
I don't think they're going to do. We haven't heard that from Tony, because all we've heard from Tony is there are situations and there are guys who are being told not to hustle. So there won't be any shame, because everything keeps coming back to the injury bug, and I wonder how long this excuse is going to hold up. At the end of the season, are we just going to find out, well, we were really hurt, it was a lost year, if they don't win the division and don't make the playoffs? Or are we going to have some accountability and go, hey, the team just wasn't good enough, we didn't do a good enough job?
Again, I personally think this team's talented enough to win the division. They've got good starting pitching. I watched that series over the weekend. Starting pitching was excellent. So, now you got to start stringing wins together in the division. You have to. But if somebody's going to get picked off twice and then trudge back to home plate or to the dugout after striking out to end a ball game, at some point, you've got to make a point. Guys, Tim Anderson is not in the lineup tonight. We're addressing it internally. He's getting one day off. We need him to be better. Period. Is this punishment? I'm not addressing anything further. Tim is not in the lineup tonight. He's available off the bench. Period. People can read between the lines. 312-332-3776. Phone line starting to hop. You got a comment, a question, a thought. Where do you hang the blame? Does Rick Hahn get blamed for the construction of the roster? Does Tony and the coaches get the blame? Or do you put it right at the feet of the players? Guys getting doubled off last night for an 8-5, first ever in the history of the sport triple play that cost you a ball game. Or Tim Anderson getting picked off multiple times and not running out of drop third strike last night. Where do you put it? 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Rolling on Cap J Hood. Hoodie has today off. He will be back with me tomorrow. That'll be the first time we're on the show together in what? Like a week and a half?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Because I got sick the 26th. That was Sunday. And then missed all last week. My anniversary was the next day. I haven't seen my wife in like 9 days.
Well, you better drop that I'm mad at her thing real quick.
Keep lashing out. See where that gets you.
Yeah, exactly. She'll be home tonight.
I'll send her a copy of this show.
I met this really nice couple last year. Remember we were doing the show at Buttermilk?
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah.
It was great. So I'm hoping Danny gets us back up there again where we can watch practice while we eat breakfast and do the show.
I was going to say, I ate so well that week.
It was great. Anyway, this really nice young couple, Laura and Brian Hanneman. It's Brian's 34th birthday today. That's a fine. Happy birthday, Brian. He listens to us every day. He came out to, I think, all the remotes. All of them. So we just wanted to wish Brian a happy birthday. Your wife reached out and said, could you wish my awesome husband a happy birthday? And I said, absolutely. That guy's a diehard, man. So, Brian, have a great birthday, man. Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Tommy on the south side. Hey, Tommy, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, how you doing this morning, Cap?
I'm doing all right, man. It's good to be back at work. I couldn't wait to get out of the house.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Good to hear you. Now, let's just go to this bench and temp thing just very quickly. If we're bench temp getting picked off twice, what did we do to Moncada and Engel last night for the historic triple play, the first ever 8-5 triple play in the history of Major League Baseball?
What would you do?
Let's just say I wouldn't bench Tim. But let's see who we put the blame on for overall of the failure of this season. I want to go all the way to the top. So, all the way to Reinsdorf.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. We can have that discussion that you don't like Tony and you don't like the fact that Jerry said, hey, Rick, I know you built the team. I'm telling you to hire his manager. That is a valid, legitimate criticism. Absolutely legitimate. Jerry Reinsdorf isn't the guy down there telling guys to not tag up and take off on a ball that gets caught at the center field wall. He's not the guy when the ball's in the dirt kicking away at the end of the ballgame that doesn't run it out to first. He's not the guy getting picked off of first base twice in a week. That's not on Jerry. How's that on Jerry?
True. Now, I'm overlooking those points. Those are all on the manager. We'll just leave it at that. I don't want to get into details of why I'm blaming Tony for that, but I'm blaming Jerry for this glut we have in right field and the outfield. That thing is logging the whole team down. It's just weighing us down, this glut we have in first base. I even mentioned a crazy solution as in almost trading Abreu, and I got crucified. And that's not what I really wanted. No, I wouldn't dare trade Abreu. I just wanted to throw the idea out there. That log jam we have in first and out on right field is so horrible. It kills our outfield.
Okay, let me read you something. I want to read you this stat, courtesy of Jay Cuda. Andrew Vaughn has one home run in 127 at-bats since the end of May. A.J. Pollock has one home run in his last 107 at-bats. Luis Robert has two home runs in his last 145 at-bats. That's on the player. Put it on the players. Agreed?
Why? Why? What's their regression from the mean? They always should be on the average of who they are. And I'm blaming the coaches for that, man.
How do you
These guys are who they are.
Hot Tommy, come on now. You're a smart, diehard fan. You're going to watch the game tonight, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how do you not hold Vaughn, Pollock, Robert, it's them in the batter's box. It's not the coach. One home run in 127 at-bats, Andrew Vaughn. One home run, 107 at-bats, A.J. Pollock. Two home runs, 145 at-bats, Luis Robert. Come on.
Okay, if we're not gonna go conspiracy theory and blame the ball, which we don't want to go there, that's mental. Something's going on in these guys' head.
I disagree. Disagree. There's nothing going on in their head. They just suck right now. They're not getting the job done.
Why would they suck? And they don't suck monumentally over all time, chronologically overall.
We cannot say it's something with the ball because Patrick Wisdom has, what, 20 home runs? 19, whatever it is? Guys are hitting the baseball. It's on the players. And I appreciate your call, Tommy. Again, I'm not defending Tony here. I'm not defending Rick. I think they're all culpable.
One thing I think is interesting is when I look at the poll, Rickon's only pulling 5.5%. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot that's come out about, you know, they're going to kind of have the team that they have. I think Stoney said that a few weeks ago. This is the team that they're going to have. I actually thought Tommy brought up a good point. This team needs a real corner outfielder. Enough with the first baseman playing the corner outfield. We saw Gavin Sheets make an error out there. It was horrible. We got to get a real outfielder. I think trading Abreu is nuts. If you want to talk about Vaughn or Sheets and figure, like, you can't trade your best and only hitter away. If you want to talk about finding a real outfielder and Vaughn and Sheets are your avenue to do that, then I think you're onto something. Trading Abreu would be insane. You would be throwing in the towel. If they're at the point that they're trading Abreu, that means they're like 12 games out at the deadline, yeah, they're restarting. That's never going to happen.
They're not trading Jose Abreu. That, we can stop at that.
If you want to throw Sheets or Vaughn on the block and say, get me a real corner outfielder, then I think you're starting to have a conversation.
You're not trading Andrew Vaughn. He's 24 years old. You're not trading Andrew Vaughn. That would be utter insanity. You're not. But they got to do something to shake things up. And I'm not a meeting guy. I've always believed team meetings are the stupidest thing of all time. On that, Joe Maddon and I agreed. He said, I have a meeting before the season. I have a meeting at the All-Star break or coming out of it. And I have one meeting going into the playoffs. That's it. Teams that win, win. Teams that lose have team meetings. Period. But there is managing that goes on when you call a guy in. I mean, Tim Anderson not running that ball out, getting picked off first. Those guys getting doubled off. The doubled off one was just idiocy, but it was not lack of hustle. What Tim has done, picked off, then picked off again, then not running it out. That would be like us having a show at 7 and me showing up at 7:01. If it keeps happening, it's Danny's fault. If I keep showing up late to work, or we come in here and we have no preparation done, that falls at Danny's feet. And if Danny doesn't hold us accountable, shame on him. Now, again, if I do that, that also falls at my feet, big time. But if my boss doesn't hold me accountable for doing it, shame on him, period. 312-332-3776, Pat's in Palatine. Hey, Pat.
Hey, I called maybe a month ago and said trade Abreu.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad Hoodie's not here to object, but you guys both object. But he's in the last year of his deal. Is an extension or a multi-year deal in the future when you have Andrew Vaughn? And those stats you gave, Cap, I don't remember. Now Abreu's hitting, but is he hitting for power? I haven't seen a whole lot of home runs come up.
Well, I think he was the guy that hit the home run last night, also got the double, scored the only two runs prior to the meaningless run they got in extra innings.
But what's his stat?
He's the only guy on the team. He's the only guy on the team with double digit home runs. His OPS is .842, 34th best. He's hitting .290. He's got 10 homers. He's got 37 RBIs.
The sand in the hourglass is getting thin for 2022, Cap. And Luis Robert, Andrew Vaughn, maybe Gavin Sheets.
What do you think?
Those guys are the future.
What do you think Jose Abreu hit for the month of June?
Oh, he was higher than S.
346 with a .964 OPS. You're going to take your best bat out of the lineup and trade him away in a walk year?
What are his power numbers, Cap? How many home runs did he hit?
He leads the team in home runs.
With what, like 12?
10.
That's horrible.
So you're going to trade the guy who leads in home runs because you don't like him and you're not going to get much back for him? He's in a walk year. He's 34 or 35 years old. What are you doing?
Isn't the rule to get something when you can? Otherwise, he walks for nothing. Are you going to trade away those other pieces? Nobody's going to want Yoan Moncada.
You are not going to get much value back for Jose Abreu, and he's your best hitter. Your best hitter. I completely disagree. If you told me he had three more years left on his deal and I'm going to get this haul and he's 28 years old, I wouldn't trade him, but I understand. 35-year-old guy in the walk year who's your best hitter? Sorry, you ain't going to get what you think you're going to get. Phone lines are hopping. 312-332-3776. We talk White Sox with you next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I got to see our boss, Danny, who's down here. JR, I haven't seen Danny in almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was nice of him to pop in, say hello, check on how you were doing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Danny checked on me a little bit during the week. Sylvie checked in. Do you want me to bring you any food or anything? I just had no interest in food. So, but, and Hoodie sent me stuff from Amazon, like Vicks VapoRub and a bunch of stuff. It was really cool.
Well, see, you had Hoodie. You didn't have Mindy around. At least you had Hoodie to take care of you.
Correct. Correct. So, it was nice.
You better buy flowers today, by the way, buddy.
And then my buddy Charlie Cardinal, he actually called me and said, hey, man, I live in Indiana. I'll get in the car and drive to you. You don't have anyone there. I've had it, and I've got immunity. I'll come over. I'll bring you food, whatever you need. I'm like, dude, you don't have to drive an hour and a half to get here. I'm good. The Amazon Prime delivery, got COVID tests delivered, the whole package, man. It just...
I tried to come over and, you know, make it easier on you, but you just, you know, you weren't interested, which I understand. That's cool.
Yeah. And you even said,
weed.
I'll bring you some weed. I said, JR, yeah, I'm going to pass. Thank you. I really appreciate you thinking of me. I have zero interest in getting high while I'm fighting COVID.
Speak for yourself.
No chance.
Cap, I told you already, I'm with you. It was painful smoking. It's usually not painful, but it was painful smoking with COVID.
And let me tell you the other thing. So I hate being alone. I was alone for 9 straight days. Alone. I woke up one night. It was like 2:30 in the morning. One of the dogs wants to go out. Great. Let him out. Come back up. 5 minutes later, the other two want to go out. Okay. I let them out. Come back up. Now I cannot sleep whatsoever. And did you ever feel like you're in bed, but you just can't get comfortable, like you're claustrophobic? Like,
oh, I haven't had the claustrophobic thing, but I definitely know the feeling of being uncomfortable in bed, for
sure. I had to get the covers off of me. Then I was freezing cold.
Temperature control was tough. I'd get too hot or too cold.
So I'd pull the covers back over me, and then I would be like, I can't catch my breath. I stand up. I'm walking around the room going, whew. And I was like, oh, just so miserable. So I read on my phone. And here's the other worst part. My laptop and my I have 2 iPads. One's a real old one, and then one's a much newer one. The newer one and my laptop and all my headphones, I left my backpack up in Wisconsin.
See, I could have brought you a charger.
I had the chargers. The charger wasn't the problem.
Oh, it was the actual equipment.
The equipment was gone. So, yeah, that sucked. Anyway, back to the phones. 312-332-3776. Ted's in Indiana. Hey, Ted.
Hey, how's it going, Cap?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I think it goes back to this coach, Tony La Russa. Reason being, these guys are coming up to bat. Whatever confidence they have is pure gone. There's no point of them going up there and just trying to get the ball in play, knowing somewhere down the line this game, an error is going to happen. This could be a misjudgment or miscoaching by Tony La Russa, whether it's him putting a pitcher in, him putting Larry Garcia in, or whatnot. I mean, these guys just don't have confidence anymore. It's different if it was one or two players, but the whole team, you can't just blame the whole team now. Come on now.
Yeah, I don't think that you're accurate that they're not playing for. They just swept the Giants in San Francisco.
The Giants are playing horrible. Their defense was horrible, if you know, if was it or not.
The Giants at home are a pretty good baseball team. To go in and beat them 3 straight, get outstanding starting pitching. I think that team plays hard. I'm not questioning their efforts. I question how smart that team is at times.
Yeah, I think these guys just stopped playing for him because with TA and everybody, just these mental errors that just constantly happen after one after another. I mean, when does it end? We're already in the middle of the season and it's still continuing.
Well, when I read you that, and appreciate your call. Have a great day, Ted. When I read you that Andrew Vaughn has 1 home run since the end of May and 127 at-bats. A.J. Pollock, 1 home run his last 107 at-bats. Luis Robert, 2 home runs his last 145 at-bats. Those are quality major league hitters. If they're not hitting home runs because they don't like the manager, I'm not saying that's the truth, that's insane.
They are not performing, period. They are not. Steve in Oswego. Hey, Steve, what's up, man?
Well, what's up, Cap? Happy to hear that you're feeling better, man. Welcome back.
Hope appreciate it. Thanks, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I just want to add that the Sox and Rick Hahn, they're reaping what they sow. How many years have we had to put up with mediocre corner outfield defense, mediocre right field free agents, and now we get to watch Michael Brantley, the new Sox killer, who we could have had, but we went out, picked up Adam Eaton, who lasted all of what, maybe about a month? And, you know, this is what they get, and they're trying to put Gavin Sheets there again, trying to get Andrew Vaughn so they can get his bat in the lineup, but he can't play first because we got Abreu, and throw him out in the outfield. And I also want to add that, you know, earlier they got lucky with some of these, give them a contract early, give them some money early. Chris Sale, Jose Quintana, some of those ones, they were able to flip them. But I'm starting to question, was it a bad idea to give guys like Eloy, to give guys like Luis Robert, who I watched another lackadaisical defensive effort yesterday, to give them all this money early? Can we start to question how much these guys really love baseball and how much they want to get better? Is it too early to do that?
Look, when you sign those guys, and I think it's too early to cast your ballot in either direction. I think Jose Abreu, or excuse me, Luis Robert is an amazingly talented player. I do. I think that Eloy Jimenez is incredibly gifted as a hitter. I think he may be back tonight, maybe tomorrow. I want to watch this team with all their parts, with all their starting pitching, and let's see what they do over the next 3 weeks or so.
Man, I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Now, if you tell me in the next 18 games to go against the Central that they go 5-13, their season's probably in dire jeopardy. But what if they go 11-7, 12-6? Let's see where it's at. Let's evaluate then. But yep. I can't complain when you lock up really talented players at really really fair deals for the team. I can't complain and to go, they shouldn't have signed him. Because if they didn't, we'd be Cup fans going, how did you not get your guy signed? And that didn't work out. Steve, appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. 312-332-3776. Let's grab Paul in Lincolnshire. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Kip. Good morning.
What's up, buddy? Paul? Paul? He's gone. All right, call us back, Paul.
Boy, that's a bummer.
All right. Cap's Cut.
It's a new segment, Cap.
Did you create this while I was gone?
Somebody did.
Awesome.
Every day, we're going to go back and look at something Kaplan said during the show as we close our wonderful program.
Love it. All right, let's do it. That's next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Home stretch of Cap J Hood. Hoodie back tomorrow, so we will be back together. Good to be back in the studio today. Finally tested negative, got out of the protocols, but boy, the first 5-6 days were awful. No fun. So if you have not had COVID, I'm not preaching to you to get your vaccine, whatever. I am vaccinated, and I would not want to be not vaccinated and have gone through that because it sucked. So I'm going to take a nap later today and then go do TV. We got podcasted, like right back at it. Got a bunch of commercials to cut today. JR, we're going to get right back in that studio and keep our streak rolling.
I think we have a new number. If you remember the live read when you were out, remember we start over there. Remember?
Excuse me?
The live read?
I don't know what you're talking about.
There was a live read. I know you were sick last week. You might have forgotten about the live read that you messed up on the air with Hood. We kind of took it and ran with it. You don't remember this, Cap?
I remember him making fun of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we start the counter over when you mess
up. No, absolutely not. They're not on air live commercials, dude. It's in the recording studio.
I like this guy. I like this. In a row.
We were just keep moving the goalposts.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
We were at 106, and we're going to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. I like this.
111's the record.
Okay, Cap.
So, anyway.
Is the pressure mounting? You starting to feel it a little bit?
No.
Getting real close to the record.
Yep. For people wondering, we have a counter. How many commercials after the show when I go up and record commercials can I do in a row without screwing up? Like, all in one take.
On-air screw-ups do not count, apparently.
Danny was the executive producer before he got promoted up. 111, and I stumbled. I'm back to 106. 106.
The pressure's getting to you. I can see it.
I've got to do, I know, Chevy's got a few today. I don't know what else we've got.
You're going to be sweating your ass off reading these.
So, see if we can knock this down. Anyway. It's time for Caps Cut, brought to you by my friends David Flom and Matt Moore at Chicago Cut. And how about this? Last week, PointsBet, all the executives came in to watch Unfiltered on TV that they sponsor. It's powered by PointsBet, we call it. So they flew in from around the country, and then we had a big dinner at Chicago Cut, and yours truly couldn't go.
They had to see Unfiltered with Lawrence Holmes.
I think it was Pat Boyle that night.
Either way.
So, and thank you to both of those guys.
It was not David Kaplan.
Thank you, Pat Boyle. Thank you, Lawrence Holmes, for filling in for me. So I missed the dinner. So I cannot wait to get to Chicago Cut and sink my teeth into a juicy steak there.
All right, cut!
The Kobayashi thing was like, whatever. The Joey Chestnut thing, less than 1% interest. Yeah. Again,
ridiculous. The 4th of July, you have no interest. Your favorite athlete is a horse. And you got nothing for the greatest competitive eater of all time?
Dare ever compare Joey freaking Chestnut and the greatest horse of all time. You've lost your mind. The guy eats freaking hot dogs. Big deal. I'm sure there is some large individual listening to the show right now who went, bring it on. That we could train to be a competitive eater, and he beat Joey Chestnut.
I think you just said the key word there, training, Cap. He has to train for this. You can't just walk up to a...
It's like somebody in the Guinness Book of World Records. That's not a sports animal.
But nobody's beating Joey Chestnut. You can't get somebody off the street and have them beat the 15-time champion. What are we talking about?
It's just a stupid competition.
Your favorite athlete is a horse.
He's an athlete.
He's a horse.
Doesn't matter. He shows speed and determination and stamina. And it's not.
You know what? Let's train you to competitive eat, and let's see how many hot dogs you can put down.
That has zero appeal to me. Zero appeal. But Joey Chestnut, sure, he's a wonderfully nice man. It's not impressive. It's not. It's just not.
It's impressive. Anyway, 63 hot dogs. So and then nuts. he chokeslammed a protester while he's on crutches. It's impressive.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, you may say it's not an athletic feat, but it is definitely impressive.
Okay. Have at it. It does nothing for me.
See, I feel like when you say it's not impressive, you're kind of implying that anybody could do it, that you could go out and do it. You could not eat 63 hot dogs. Nobody on the street. You could not find someone out here and train them to eat 63 hot dogs. You could not do it.
Yeah, okay, so what? It's a hot dog eating contest where he takes the bread and he soaks it in water so he could slurp it down. He's not even chewing the freaking buns. I mean, it's not that impressive.
I also can't believe you saw Kobayashi feet from you do this live, and you were still just like, nothing to it. It's easy. No problem.
I had a guy on my old radio show down the dial who came in and ate like, I don't know, five plates of poutine. It's like gravy and fries and meat and all that. He's the world record holder in that. I'm like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, that's gross. It's gross. Don't get me wrong. Joey Chestnut eating 63 hot dogs is gross. I think you're crazy saying that it's not big viewing on the 4th of July, that it's irrelevant, and that it's not impressive. That's nuts.
Did you know that he holds 55 world records for competitive eating?
Yeah, okay. Again, does nothing for me.
Chicken wings.
Absolutely.
How many chicken wings do you think you could eat, Cap, in a half an hour?
Three.
100.
Three chicken wings?
I'm not a huge chicken.
All right, so give me something you like. What do you like?
What do I like?
You like tacos? You like pulled pork? How about hot dogs?
What's the biggest steak you could eat?
Eggs?
In a sitting.
I'm not one of those guys. That does nothing for me. Zippo. I'll eat what I want to eat, enjoy my meal, and move on. And the fact that some idiot eats 63 hot dogs and drinks the buns because he soaks them in water. People that actually are impressed by that are dumber than he is.
If you soaked a hot dog in water right now and you tried to swallow it whole, we would have to take you to the hospital.
I didn't talk about the hot dog.
I'm just saying, soaking it in water makes no difference. There's still 63 hot dogs.
Linda Lovelace here. We're talking about
Sheryl Crow.
The eating. I'm supposed to see her Thursday night. I'm COVID free. Oh, give my ticket away. I told Minnie, give my ticket away. I'm not going. Yeah. She's in town and I'm back. Yep. She would have been paying more attention. Yep. Thursday night. I'm flying the crow. Yep.
You're sleeping on the couch tonight.
We got to get her on Friday morning when we find out she remembers you from all those years
ago. Abdallah. He's not just a hot dog guy. Check the records at the Cat Man. Much better than that horse. That horse would beat the living H out of him. Take that, Abdallah. See you tomorrow.